You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me back.
If you'd like to reach us on our off-air number, you can text or call 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. So, Tammy, I wanted to bring in, we get so many questions about appraisals, and I wanted to bring in an expert appraiser. So I want to welcome to the studio, we have Christy McCoy from McCoy Appraisal. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
So, Christy, in the mortgage industry, we rely on appraisers on every single transaction, and it becomes really important that appraisers know what they're doing. And, you know, we see the good, bad, and the ugly of it. Homeowners are constantly surprised by certain things on their appraisal because they think it works a certain way and it doesn't. And I wanted to invite you in to dispel some of the myths, because I just think there's so many questions around appraisal, you know, why people think that think their house is worth more than it actually is. In most cases, I'm sure you see that a lot, don't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely, without a doubt.
So how long have you been an appraiser?
I got in the business in April of 2001.
In practical terms, like you do probably 300 appraisals a year?
About 300, yes.
Okay, so you're talking about 4,000 appraisals over the last 13 or 14 years.
Yeah, unbelievably enough, yes.
Okay, so the reason I say that is because it shows the amount of repetition that you get. You've been in and out of 4,000 homes.
Yes.
That is a lot of appraising.
It's a lot of appraising. You see a lot of different types of homes. It's been a fun industry and an ever-changing industry, as I'm sure you're well aware of.
I was just getting ready to ask, how has your business changed over the years?
Oh, my goodness. Stuff? Oh, requirements for us have changed. Probably the biggest change came when everything started to slide. That was
back in 2008, 2009.
Seeing it in 2006. Okay. I came back from maternity leave, saw the first thing that I had seen in the first 5 years, and that was a house sell for less than what it had sold previously. I'd never seen that before. So I started questioning then, and then 2007 hit, and then it just was the ongoing slide of things. So, yeah.
A little bit scary.
It was very scary,
When you guys have some liability, because when you put a value on a property, your license is held to it to a certain extent.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And they did, when things did slide, they did start holding appraisers accountable for that number. And it was, some of that was a good thing.
The kiss of death that we used to see is used to be the Chase watch list.
Yeah.
You ever heard of it?
I'm sure I have.
Your industry, the dreaded Chase watch list. Chase was the one lender that if they didn't like an appraisal from somebody, they would stick them on their watch list.
And it was hard to get off.
And they would not disclose what you did to get on the watch list.
Correct.
You really couldn't even rebut it. They weren't some official governing body. And every lender out there used the Chase watch list that if somebody got on it, they were off your list now.
Absolutely. I had a good friend of mine who actually got me in the industry, and he was on that list, and it was an unfortunate thing. He did finally, after I think 3 years, get off the list, but it was a very difficult task. And again, without any information of what happened, I'm fortunate that I've not been put on anything like that. But yeah, there are some appraisers, a lot of appraisers, and Chase is a big lender or investor. So you don't want to be on that list.
Well, it's not even about Chase. It's really just about the fact that lots of other investors will use a Chase watch list.
Right.
Or mortgage banks like Cherry Creek Mortgage that I work with. We're 25th largest lender in the country. And when we fund a loan, it has to be able to sell to all the major investors. And if you use an appraiser that's on the Chase watch list, then you can't sell to that investor for sure. So you just can't use that appraiser.
Right. And you don't want to, I'm sure, limit your, who your investor is.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what got you into the appraising business?
Well, a good friend of mine had approached me in 2001. He had started working in the industry. And at the time, I was a single mom and going to school and working two jobs. And he just thought that it would be a really good fit for me. And caught me at the right time, and I got in right before everything exploded after 9/11. Interest rates took a dive, and we were busy for, well, until probably 2007, you know, and it took me about 2 years to even get my license because we were so, so busy. You have to take your education and,
work as an apprentice for a long time.
Lots of training, which is a good thing. And really for us, we train all the time. You have mentors that you work with. There's no cookie cutter appraisals most of the time. So you got to have somebody with some expertise to rely on. And I'm fortunate to have that.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're speaking with Christy McCoy from McCoy Appraisal Group. So, Christy, whenever we talk about the different approaches to determine the value of a property, there's three main ones that we see out there. We have the sales comparison approach, the cost approach, and the income approach. And out of those three, which is the one that you guys predominantly use?
Sales comparison.
Okay.
You know. Yeah, that's our predominant approach that we use.
So the sales comparison approach, I'm assuming, means that they're comparing it to other homes that are like yours that have sold.
Correct.
Versus like an income approach would be more for investment properties.
Absolutely.
Looking at the value of the property maybe based on the income that it can bring in. The cost approach is what?
It's a replacement cost on the home, and really it's not an approach. It's probably one of those approaches we feel as appraisers that will eventually, it's kind of irrelevant. Yeah. Because of you can't measure depreciation on a 50-year-old house. And that's where that comes in. So it's not an approach we really even use unless it's, you know, for me, the house is less than 5 years. I can probably estimate a good depreciation on that. But over that, it's not a number that you want to put out there because it's not a credible value. And, you know, in our industry, you're trying to establish a credible value for something. So,
okay. So using the sales comparison approach to do that, let's talk about the requirements on that because you have to use sales comparison. You're comparing it, and they'll use the term
paired sales analysis is what we use.
Okay. So, and you have to pick comps or comparable properties is
correct.
What that stands for, right?
Yes.
And what are your guidelines when you pick comparable properties? You know, what is a comparable property?
Well, you know, we're looking at homes. Some of it is dictated by underwriters. Some of it is dictated by our industry. It's a typical guideline is a house sold within a 1 mile radius, similar square footage. You want to find something a little bigger, a little smaller, similar. And then what you do is you make adjustments for the positives and the negatives, meaning whether it has a deck or patio or lower level finish. But to really establish a good comparable, you want to try to find something that's similar in construction and the quality of the condition of the home too. Start there and then.
Okay. So when it comes to, like, let's just say it's a two-story house.
Right.
Do you have to compare it to all two stories? Compare it to a ranch?
Kind of depends on the market. You know, two stories and ranches are different by nature. And so you really, you know, typically we don't want to use something like that. But if you're in a rural area where you may not have a lot of data or you have, you know, something like a pool or something you're trying to really establish, sometimes that works, but 9 times out of 10 you're trying to use either two stories, story and a half. You want to have the same design.
Right.
And how many years is a comp that you would use? Like, how, you know what I'm trying to say?
Correct.
The length of time.
They want, you know, the underwriters under than 6 months. Less than 6 months is what they want. You know, really they would like it within a day of when it's sold. But we understand that that's not
right.
Credible. We can go up to a year, but they start to lose a little relevance to what's going on, especially right now with the market being what it is. We're also seeing you can make a time adjustment for those. Mm-hmm. If you can measure it out adequately, you'll make, you know, right now we are doing that because it is a very stimulated market with homes selling pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want to try to use either closed sales or listings to help support the value,
right?
Especially for homes that there's not a lot of data.
Sure.
And you are having to use different styles of homes. So if you have a good listing, throw that in there.
Okay, so you mentioned that, so it's not just ones that have sold. You can also throw some in that are a listing or under contract.
Under contract, sure.
So if it's a pending sale.
Absolutely.
How do you calculate that in? Does it calculate in just like a sold home?
Yes. We will make some if we can. Well, for me, I will contact an agent. Sometimes they will give me what the house closed for. Sometimes they won't, or they'll give me an estimate. So we might make a 3% adjustment for the difference in the listed price and the closed sales price. Just kind of depends on the information that you have. But yeah, we will definitely, because they do have some relevance in what mm-hmm. we're doing. And, mm-hmm. and the investors do like to see listings sure. as a part of that. It shows that there is an active market.
Okay. Well, if you have time to stick around, I want to definitely ask some more questions. We're speaking with Christy McCoy from McCoy Appraisals. And I want to ask a question about basement square footage, because this comes up
yes.
all the time. Is, you know, can you include your basement in your square footage if it's finished basement? The answer to that is coming up. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.